Hello, ladies and gentlemen, weebs and gaming connoisseurs, I guess, in between. Welcome back to Focus Otaku. This is now going to be episode 4, and it's a very late night podcast. It's probably going to be one, that might not run on long enough because, A, I am absolutely beat, and my voice has been taking a hit. But I really just want to be able to talk about something because today, technically yesterday, it's very important to me. And we're going to jump into that in a moment as to why it's very important to me and what it signifies and means to me as a photographer. But beyond that, though, I also hope to sort of address a few upcoming plans that we have going on. There are some plans that I can't really talk about in detail what they are yet. I'm pretty sure I can sort of vaguely talk about stuff. There's one in particular that I cannot talk about. So I do apologize for the secrecy around that. But once stuff gets announced and such, I should be able to talk about it. But I'm very excited and also very terrified about it. Mostly excited, though. Maybe equally terrified. We'll find out in a little bit. But yes, so welcome back to the new episode. First off, I would like to thank everyone who's listened to the prior few episodes of Season 2, as well as those of you that are actually listening to Season 1 right now. Wow, thank you. I mean, this isn't something I'm doing for views or listens or anything. You know, it's just a passion project. It's something to kind of keep me focused, keep me active, and keep me engaged, so to speak, because I've been wanting that. I sort of need something like that in my life right now. And podcasting for me is quite easy because I don't have to worry about video options. I just worry about if the audio sounds crispy enough. So I do hope everyone at least enjoys that little bit of audio goodness. So we'll go over some updates and stuff and we'll tackle some important stuff. And I will be not really name dropping people. I might accidentally let a name slip, but you know, most of them will have a name on their profile. So I do apologize if I name slip. I don't mean to do it intentionally. I've already had to re-record the episode because I name slipped. And yeah, I don't like it when I do that because I don't know if some people like their name being mentioned in the podcast. So I tend to just use like the, you know, online persona or the cosplay name account, so to speak. So yeah. So let's roll into just why today in particular. Again, it's technically August 5th. But why it's so important to me. And it's important to me because it was the first day I got to do a paid photo shoot. And to me, and again, this is going to vary from individual to individual. But for me, it's what signifies someone's start, someone's beginning as a professional photographer. Because you can make an argument that, you know, that someone is not a professional photographer unless they have, you know, 5,000 followers or they have, you know, they've done like a Nat Geo shoot or something like that, you know, or maybe they make a living off of it, you know, and that makes them a professional. I see it as just, you know, once you start getting recognized and people are going, hey, I want to pay you to do a photo shoot. You know, it's not, you know, just, hey, can you do a photo shoot for free? You know, blah, blah, blah. It's that recognition you start getting. I would argue it's especially when people start talking about you. And when you have a photo store that that mentioned that you're, you know, a professional when it comes to this segment of cosplay. Yes, it is ego padding to a degree. And I'm not going to deny not liking the ego padding because everybody loves themselves a little bit of ego pat. I can guarantee the people that are listening right now sort of get that lucky, you know, I say lucky, but you know, that sort of high feeling when somebody says that, you know, you kind of feel weird about it, but at the same time, you're like, you know, that's kind of actually pretty cool, you know, when you think about it. It's important for me because it was the day that I got to finally work with Sofiria Cosplay professionally. And it was basically the beginning of an awesome friendship with her. And, you know, we're each other's besties. And yeah, I'm 27, damn it. And I can still say the word bestie. Gosh darn it. But, you know, like I said, it's important for me because it got me to where I am today, currently speaking. And let me tell you what, I was absolutely petrified to do that photo shoot. I've talked to Sophia about this before, and she knows about it vaguely, but I don't think I really talked to her about it too much in depth. But just the days leading up to that photo shoot, I was nervous beyond belief because, again, this was the first time somebody actually was like, "Hey, you do really good work. I would like to pay you for said work. What are your rates?" And at the time, I had no idea what to charge. I knew I didn't want to charge above 100 for a shoot because I think that is ridiculously ludicrous. But again, that is an entire discussion in of itself, about pricing for photo shoots, but I digress. But I was sort of surprised. And it wasn't really the first time I'd worked with her, but this is the first time in my eyes that, I was doing a more professionalized shoot with her. Because the first time I got to work with Sophia Cosplay was technically 2017 at the interesting convention that was Anime NebraskaCon. If you are a party person, then it's probably going to be a con you'll enjoy, but it's just an absolute trash of a convention. I'm sorry if I'm ruffling any feathers right now. It has a really good the 2017 convention. I like the great hall space. It had like some really nice photo op corners and areas, but I don't know. That convention for me was just a mess. Mostly because I was sick for most of it, so that might also have an influence. But, I do apologize if I'm offending anyone out there. We all have those conventions we don't like. But I got to work with her, not, by herself, but I did a made up photo session for the Love Life photo shoot there because that person just decided to skedaddle even before, well before the shoot was supposed to end. And, because the cosplay contest was going on, that was obviously more important. Even though they were an official photographer for the convention and they have an obligation to be more vocal about that and understand that, the shoot goes on for the allotted time frame at a convention. Sorry. This is not going to turn into a rant about Anime and BrassCon. But yeah, no. So I got to make up the shoot for them. And that was Sephiria Lavinark cosplay. Kawari Ringo and Fruitless Cost. And that was my first time getting to work with pretty much everybody and a few other people that would go on to be some really good friends. And after that, I was also approached again at NakaCon to do their Idolish 7 meetup photos. And I felt very trusted. And then it was after NakaCon, and it took a while, from March. But I think I had posted something or whatnot, thinking about doing like photo shoot commissions or something along the lines. And then I get this message from Sophia Cosplay. I would like to commission you. And I'm like, what the monkey? And it just came out of left field because this was a cosplayer that, while yes, I did get to work with her, they were a cosplayer that I saw as like very professional. And I still see them as very professional. Not that I'm saying you're not professional, Sophia. You are damn well professional. And I would say this extended to everybody I worked with after the fact, the people that I got to start meeting one-on-one. Because even with like Lavinart cosplay, like I was sweating bullets with that cosplay shoot session when she commissioned me for a photo shoot. My goodness, I was stressed. But in my opinion, that first paid photo shoot I did with Sophia will never go down as the photo shoot where I was not anxious and not just utterly afraid of messing up. I wanted to do the best that I could do for her because she was paying me to do her photos. And yeah, I mean, I know I'm just rambling on and I keep saying, I got paid to do photos, but that was my mindset at the time. I was just sort of just going through like the motions of like, well, where, okay, how did we get here? How did I get here? And what the heck am I going to do if I mess this all up? Fortunately, though, she had a lot of understanding because it was my first time doing this professionally. I didn't have a lot of good gear. I still have my D5500. It's not a bad camera. It's a very great camera. It's taken every photo you guys have probably seen on my Instagram page and that I've shared, or at least in my portfolios too, all the way up until April of this year when I transitioned to the Z50. You know, and I'm sure I'm going to have that camera for an interim amount of time until I upgrade to a full frame system, which is sort of the end goal. I do want to go full frame, even though I talk, you know, even though I tell people you don't need that, I do want to get to that point eventually. But, you know, so I was concerned about making sure that everything was in focus. And to be honest, while I had been doing cosplay photography photos, you know, not, you know, in the sense of a photo shoot, but, you know, I was doing like, you know, just casual stuff, you know, doing the whole, you know, you're at a convention, you see a cosplayer, you go up to them, you know, you ask them politely, and then you take the photo. I was doing that sort of thing. I didn't really, you know, think about doing photo shoots until really that Anime NebraskaCon moment. And after that, though, it was a pleasant experience beyond that. But it was just this defining moment with Sofuria Cosplay that, you know, someone like her trusted me a heavy amount to do, you know, professional cosplay photos for her. And that's something I always still tell her about every day. I mean, I know I don't owe anybody for, you know, the support they give me or just the trust that they give me in terms of being able to do their photos. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, like get like, you know, pity points or stuff like that, but I feel it's very important to be transparent, to always mention that, because I don't want to seem like I'm ever going to take that for granted. You know, I might sound like a broken record to some, you know, and sure, I might be a bit annoying when I always say like, you know, I owe you, but I do mean that, because especially as a no-name photographer at the time, like that's a lot of trust to put into a photographer that you literally have, you know, two instances of an experience with. And sure, at the time too, I was sort of making some headway with Springfield Cosplay as well. But, you know, there's that level of trust, and she trusted me, you know, in an almost blind trust fashion. Like, you know, like we had worked together before, and she knew that I was going to get the photos. And even before I started archiving my photos, I saved those raw files because to me that was important. And it's something that I still go back to today. You know, once I've learned how to edit photos in a more productive way, or if I learn new techniques, I like to go back through those old raw files and I like to pull them out and apply what I know. And, you know, I've had moments of pure joy because there were a few photos that I took that were absolutely, at the time for me, unsalvageable. But I've been able to go back through and I've been able to salvage photos that Sofuria hasn't even seen, because I didn't want to share them because they were, in my opinion, very bad photos that I took. And so I've been able to surprise her with a few new photo edits. I haven't done any new ones recently, but, you know, I've been able to go back and touch stuff up or change stuff in a certain way that actually makes it look a lot better. And for me, that's always going to be something that I want to be able to do for anybody I work with. You know, even after the shoot is said and done, I am better about keeping the raw files because I actually have a nice storage system now set up. So, yeah, but, you know, it's something that I'm trying to do for a lot of other cosplayers that I worked with. I want to go back to these older photos and I want to be able to touch that up, because a commission for me is always a big thing. I'm not just seeing it as, you know, a client, so to speak. I'm seeing it as, you know, somebody who trusts me enough to take their cosplay photos, you know, to be able to showcase that for them and give them something. I just got to work with recently Pink Cherry Cosplay and Acid Cosplay. Both are insanely amazing cosplayers and people that, you know, I've only ever gotten to just chat with over Instagram with. And, you know, Pink Cherry as well was somebody who, you know, they ran a cosplay art and photography magazine. And I was immensely lucky to be featured in one of those things. And that still, in of itself, is mind-blowing to me how I could get to that point. But, you know, I look back at it all, and it, to me, just traces back to that one defining moment on August 5th in 2018, getting to do those jade photos for Dragon Quest XI for her. And that honestly means a lot to me. And I'm getting a little choked up right now thinking about it. I'm sorry. I'm a very emotional person. That's just how it rolls for me. But, you know, I have a lot of thanks to give for that moment. And I would say any photographer has those, you know, those moments that they can reflect back on, because, you know, that's for them a start. And, you know, I guess aspirations and, you know, when to make sure you live up to those. So, yeah, the waterworks are flowing rapidly right now. But, yeah, so, you know, a huge thank you to you, Sophia Cosplay, because I know you listen to these podcasts. So, it means the world to me that I could have that level of trust. And to all the other cosplayers that do listen to this, you know, Lavinark and Soaring Symphony and Fruitless Costs and Phantom X Cosplay and, God, there's a lot of cosplayers out there that I know I'm forgetting. Otter Parade, Little Miss Latina, you know, just thank you to everybody who supports me, you know. It means a lot to me that I can do this sort of stuff. All right, and we're back from the break. I'm sorry, I had to cut that short because, man, those waterworks hit hard. Okay, but yes, August 5th for me will always be a very important date because of those moments. And yeah, so moving onwards, so we can get it out of the emotional swamp of stuff, because my God, if I go on, it's just gonna get worse. Man, this is also a reason why I can't watch Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, because that movie is so much of a beautiful homage to the entirety of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise. So much symbolism in that film. God darn you, J.A. Bayona. But if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, there's a very poignant scene that plays out once the heroes and heroines of the film are trying to get off the island, Isla Nublar, as Mount Sibo is erupting. And the final moments you get to see of Isla Nublar is that of a Brachiosaurus, magnificently but also sadly rearing up because it's being engulfed by lava. And you only see the silhouette of it do that once more before it crashes to the ground and then fades away. And that is a direct homage to the very first time we get to set foot on Isla Nublar with Jurassic Park, where Alan Grant and Ian Malcolm and Dr. Sattler all get to see the Brachiosaurus, you know, rear up to grab some top foliage. And it's such a poignant scene because, you know, that's the first thing you see when you go to Isla Nublar, and that is the last thing we see as the audience as the series leaves Isla Nublar. And yeah, it's reasons like that because I get that emotional because I put all the connections together and I'm just like, my word. Okay, yes, back on focus. But yeah, so as far as events that will be coming up, there are a few things that have happened recently. One big thing is I can't talk about the big thing because it's a thing. That's all I can say. It's happening. Not in the way that you guys might be thinking the thing might be. But yeah, no. Once I get the okay to talk about this stuff, I will talk in more about it. But all you guys would know, there is a thing. Beyond that thing, there are a few more things. I've been talking with Kristen Pretty Otome. She's an excellent person, a fantastic cosplayer, and she does an amazing work with the Lolita community up in the KC metro area. Bless her heart for everything that she does up there. But I don't know if it's my place to talk about these things, but there are planned stuff. So I'm hoping to maybe have an event to go to up in KC. It's like, I think it's probably a cosplay meet or a Lolita cosplay meet, something of the matter. So I'm very excited for that to hopefully happen because I have not been up to a KC meet and it's something that I really would like to try. But, you know, it's all about safety first and just making sure that stuff is going to pan out appropriately. So it's officially not happening yet, but I'm just sort of hoping, fingers crossed, because I really want to give the Z50 a bigger work pace. Actually, right now, it's pitch black and I can't see it, but it's out on my back porch right now doing a time lapse that's supposed to end in 7 minutes. So there might be another cut around 7 or 6 minutes from now. I do apologize for that. I just want to make sure that the time lapse worked perfectly. So you might actually get to hear my reaction to a time lapse on this podcast episode. Congratulations. It's like a live photo shoot thing almost, but not live. Yeah. So there's that happening. And then hopefully in September 2, there's talks of potentially having a group meet coming down from KC to Springfield area or something like that. Again, details are not finalized. It's all just sort of up in the air stuff. But that would be a lot of fun if that happened, because I don't get much time off in September. And the only time I ever really have gotten off in September has been for the Fall Festival. But there's been no word about the Fall Festival yet, so we'll see how that stuff pans out. Beyond that, though, those are really the big two events that I have happening, besides the thing that I can't talk about. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to be going on that I hope that can pan very well. I'm going to still work with a few cosplayers and stuff because I have 4 days off. I always take 4 days off for the festival period. But, you know, with so much uncertainty about events and stuff, I have been talking to other cosplayers, and some have even chatted with me about potentially doing photo shoots and stuff later. And I'm hoping we can work some stuff out, because I want to be able to give photos to people this year too. You know, when I say give photos, but you know, like, there's a lot of people that have had it rough. You know, 2020 has not been a good year. Let's just be frank and honest with that. It's really hard to believe that we're already in August, though. I mean, it's been 8 months. You know, we only got 4 more to go. So let's get through 2020, please. But yeah, no, seriously though, it's been, I know, hard for some. I've seen a lot of cosplayers lamenting the fact that, you know, that it feels weird for them because they're used to being able to go out and do stuff around this time, or have the chance to do certain things. So, I understand that angst. I understand that frustration. And like I said, it's why I want to work hard to provide people an option to have some photos taken, you know, in a very safe and productive manner. You know, so I want to be able to help people get those photos, because then at least they got something positive to look back on for 2020. Not to say, you know, they wouldn't have done anything positive, you know, just give them something positive, something else positive to look at. Oh, sorry. I had to take a quick dying break because, like I said, I did a lot of talking at work today, so my voice is pretty much like getting shot because I was on vacation the past 5 days, and I guess I wasn't used to talking a lot. So, yeah, I need to get some more water soon here as well. But beyond that, though, like I said, I just want to be able to provide some people some photos. So I have stuff in the works, so hopefully that all pans out. Another thing I am currently working on that I guess feels relevant, we're going to get in an actual nice portfolio site set up. I currently use Weebly for that, and Weebly is not bad by any means. It's just limited. I hit my capacity for photo uploads, and I do that because the photos that I upload are PNG files of most of my photos. And most of my photos at bare value tend to sit around the 11 to 40 megapixel rate, megabyte range. Good gravy, I'm on a photography mindset. So they tend to sit in that range of size count, which doesn't sound like much. But I mean, when you have like, you know, 140 megabyte photos sitting there, you know, yeah, then you start seeing the fact that that equals up to 4 gigs worth of photos. So yeah, I was looking into different alternatives. Right now I'm using SmugMug. I don't have a link yet to get that up because I still need to do some fine tweaking with it, but it's looking pretty shabby if I do say so myself. A nice feature that they have for their very basic plan, it's basically if I do one photo shoot a year, I can cover the cost of my portfolio site. But the really cool thing that they offer is that you guys can order prints directly through my portfolio site. And it's an option I want my friends to have. And the pricing isn't too bad, especially if you get stuff. You can even get canvases if you decide to have a canvas of yourself. I, by all means, go for it, I would say. But it's something I've been testing with, and it's something that I think is really cool to offer. There's a lot of programs that I use already for editing that have direct publish to like SmugMug. Lightroom is actually one of those, and I believe Luminar 4 as well is one of those. So that's really cool in my opinion. And so I'm working on that to get that up and running as quick and effectively as I can, because I really want a good looking portfolio site for people to kind of bounce back to. I think it'd be really rewarding to have that and just to be able to be a slight bit more professional with my display of that. Eventually, though, I would actually like to get a decent printer, so that way I can sort of do my own photo prints here. That's a very long off future prospect, mind you. So, yeah, I know. I'm very much a forward thinker. That is my bane and that is my curse, is that I like to just wander my mind off in very fanciful directions of wonder and interest. So, but we'll have another little break because I gotta go check on my camera, so I will update you guys with that time-lapse recording. Alright, we're back, and my goodness, am I ever so impressed with myself. So like I said, I was doing a time-lapse because I had never done a time-lapse before and I wanted to do something quite interesting with this. So I started this at 7:50. And basically I did like an hour and 10 minutes worth. So in total I did 70 photos over the course of that time, and I am very happy with the results. I think the interval that I did a minute for every photo, and it seems to, if I probably stepped it down to probably 50 to 45 seconds, I would say probably between 40 and 50 seconds in that range, would probably be a very good spot. And also too, it's a good first attempt at this, because it also was a little weird leaving my camera sitting out there, because I get weirded out by that type of stuff. I know that's what they're designed to do. I know this camera that I have is rugged. It's designed to be left outside. Do I like the idea a lot? No, I don't like the idea. But, the big but. So now I gotta get this popped out, loaded onto my computer. I will probably fiddle with it in the morning, to be fully honest, because once I get this podcast done and published, I'm just gonna go crawl right into my cozy bed, because that is a mood, my friends. Ladies and gentlemen, that is today's mood, to crawl into bed. I'm very pleased with this. I've never had a SLR or a mirrorless DSLR for that matter, actually have like built-in interval shooting, so that is quite Gucci, as the kids would say these days. I don't know how long the video is going to be when I get it all stitched together. I just hope it's not a big video. That's my biggest worry right now. I'm just trying to figure stuff out. I do want to test around some time-lapse stuff some more. I wouldn't mind doing like a rainy day time lapse, because I think that'd actually be pretty cool. I'm not willing to test how water resistant the Z50 really is, especially with the kit lens, because that's the widest angle lens that I have. I would love to get a wide angle lens. And you know what? While we're on the topic of camera gear, I basically have a gear outline that I want to follow and get. So as I mentioned on Instagram, I do want to save up for a new lens. I'm having a bugger all of a time, though, figuring out exactly which lens I want to go with, though. Because there are three types that I'm looking at. I want to get a secondary portrait lens. And when I mean portrait lenses, I'm meaning another prime lens. And you guys can't see what I'm holding, but I always have this urge to hold whatever I'm talking about in my hand. So my preferred lens, and it's the lens that you guys have seen with any photo shoot that I've done, really, is my Nikon. It's an AFS Nikkor 35 1.8G aperture lens. This is a must-have portrait lens if you have a DX camera system or a APS-C camera system, in layman's terms, if you shoot Nikon as well. It's probably, I would argue, probably the sharpest prime lens you can get on a DX. I know I'm saying a lot, because there are some Sony fanboys out there that love their Alpha 6000 series. And to be fair, the Fujinon lenses that Fujifilm makes for their X-T3 and 4 are very good. Fujifilm does APS-C very well. But I love Nikon. For all their faults and flaws, I love what they do with their APS-C system, and I love the Z50 for that. I know a lot of people crap on APS-C for being a not professional camera sensor size, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Sorry, I'm also feeling a bit sassy tonight. Back on track. I do want to get another prime lens. And the thing with APS-C cameras, since they are a crop sensor camera and they're not a full frame, which full frame basically is layman's terms for that, the sensor size is the standard size of an old 35 millimeter film strip, which is, you know, the film that we all used in film cameras. APS-C is like a 1.5. I think every company does it slightly differently, but I think Nikon's a 1.5 crop. So it is slightly smaller. And as such, the focal lengths are slightly different. So this 35 is technically speaking a 50 millimeter lens on a full frame camera. And the other preferred portrait lens that a lot of photographers use is an 85 millimeter. So effectively speaking, if I get a 50 millimeter lens for my camera, I'm effectively getting close to an 85. It's more so like a 70 to 75. But the idea is, though, it's another standard prime that will give me a longer focal length. So that way I can work with more interesting situations, but I can still get the benefit of having a lower aperture, which is really great when you're trying to get that subject and background focus separation. It's why a lot of the shots that I do have a lot of creamy bokeh in the background. But beyond this lens, the other lens that I want to use, that I want to upgrade, I should say, is my zoom lens. I currently use a 55 to 200, 4 to 5.6, and it's not bad. It produces some solid bokeh if you shoot it at its biggest, at 5.6, surprisingly enough. And I think that I've seen a couple of reviews that even talked about that, where they're massively impressed with how well it performs. And even in my latest portrait shoot with Pink Cherry and Acid, that was a lens that did a lot of work during that shoot. And it got some tack sharp images, if I dare say so myself. But the workhorse, again, for me, is always this 35 prime. But the other thing I want to get, and this sort of stems into something recently that I'm wanting to get into, with time lapses especially, and also just doing other types of photography, a big passion of mine is astronomy. I love learning about space. Should be quite evident considering the fact that I absolutely adore Star Trek and I absolutely adore Star Wars. No surprises there. But but a lens that I want to get is a like 12 to 24. And this is like a wide angle zoom essentially. But they are godly expensive. If I go with the Nikon option, I'm looking at dropping $1,500. My Lord. But it's going to be good for the astrophotography. It's going to be good for time-lapse work. It's going to be good for vlogging and stuff. Overly good for vlogging. But, you know, that's why I'm using my kit, because it's working. It works fine. And I necessarily probably don't need that. There is a cheaper option from Rockin' On Lens. I've never used them, so I don't know how well their quality is, but, you know, they sell one that's a 2.8 aperture for $350. Much more affordable than $1,500. In fact, five times more affordable. So that's what I've been looking at lens-wise. Because, yeah, the part about photography that a lot of people forget to, you know, also pay attention to is that it's not just the camera that takes the good picture, it's also the glass that you have in front of the sensor that takes a good picture. And this 35 opened my eyes to that, because my word, it does a fantastic job at taking a picture. So, but yeah, no, those are my upcoming ideas, and pretty much any photo shoot that I do now is going to be money that's going to be towards my new portfolio site in terms of maintaining the annual subscription cost, which is only $55, so not too bad. And B, just saving up for new photo gear. Because I also desperately need to get a secondary battery for this camera, and that's at least going to be $60 to $70, since Nikon uses a new battery size for this camera. And like I said, I do want to actually get one of the full frame Z lines too. I could go with the Z5, which is a newer, cheaper version. Basically going to be the same resolution as my D5500, but it has the benefit of being full frame, and it has two SD card slots. Although there is much more plastic apparently with that build. Don't know why. But I don't know. The Z6 would obviously be a step up, because it's going to be the same ballpark range as the D55 again, but it has a few different quirks and characteristics, such as being very well water sealed, and then also that it uses an XQD and CF Express card slot, which is supposed to have stupidly good redundancy, but man, those cards are freaking expensive. Yeah, cameras. Never get into cameras, because if you thought cosplay was bad, cameras are a whole other ballpark when it comes to cost. My goodness. So, but that's something I definitely want to upgrade and keep going down the line, because that's important to me. Further down the road, I'll probably need to get an updated MacBook at some point, because the MacBook that I got, the MacBook Pro 13-inch, I think 2016 or 17, I just got the bare-bones basic model, because I thought 8 gigs would be sufficient enough for photo edits, but as time has gone on, it's proven that it can do it, but it's not as good. So whenever I do upgrade again, because, I do have a Windows PC, but I just love my Mac stuff so much more than my Windows system. To me, Windows is just very infuriating to use. And I'm not trying to bash on the system as a whole or to say, you know, this is why you should use Mac. For me, you know, for Otaku Photography's own Josh, Macs just work a lot better, in my opinion. I love their file management system better. I just love the fact that, you know, I can generally just plug my camera into it and it's like, oh, hey, you got a camera? I can read your RAW files. That tiny amount of stuff is very important to me. So having that flexibility and ease of use, I would say, is awesome. That is very awesome to have, if I do say so myself. But that's down the road, because I'm going to run this until it dies. Ideally before it dies, though. But, you know, we can't make those decision choices for our stuff that we have. So, but yeah, that's sort of future goal stuff. As far as stuff for the podcast goes, I pretty much have all I need. I made the very good hindsight purchase at my work when we got in some Blue Yeti blackouts. They were like $120 when we got them in, but then we discounted them to $50. I know, stupidly insane for probably arguably one of the best USB microphones around. So yeah, I think I got a good steal on that, and it served itself very well so far. But those are my plans. And yeah, so hopefully the time lapse will be up. If I can get the video kind of all together tomorrow morning, I should hopefully be able to post it to Instagram. I don't know if there's going to be some file size issues or not, but I'll have some way of being able for you guys to look at it. And so you can see how good I did. I'm very pleased with myself. You know, I'm going to give myself a shoulder pat for that. But yeah, so that's going to do it for episode 4 of Focus Otaku. Thanks for joining me on a very late night ramble. I hope for whenever you're listening to this that it's been a fun, enjoyable moment. I'm sorry I got emotional in the first part of the podcast, but please give Saphiria Cosplay a lot of love. She's such a great friend to me. She is my best friend, and I constantly want to keep improving for her. So look forward to what we have planned in the future, because going to hopefully do a lot more fun work with that. So as always, this has been Josh. I'll catch you guys all in the next one. Peace and take care.